church. I want to say a few things about Water for Life. As you noticed, James Robinson in the video, Water for Life is an outreach of his ministry. We're hooking up with him because he is a man of great integrity, and I appreciate the work that he's done through the years. This morning, your children will be getting little cups that's got tops with slits in them. We're trying to get our kids involved in this endeavor. We want to teach our children to have a heart for missions. We want to teach our children about giving. So they're going to be collecting money. We have a little girl, two little girls, that are thinking about donating one of their piggy bank. It's got about $400 or $500 in it. And so the kids are getting involved in this, and that's so exciting. I believe that we can do at least one well this year. And my goal is to do at least one every year. So pray about what you're going to do towards this. We don't ask you to do what you cannot do. We don't ask you to give till it hurts. We just ask you to be obedient. And on the 21st of November, which is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're going to be receiving that offering. So be praying about that. And I'm looking for the next Sunday to be a great celebration as we are able to help one village. So that they say one of these wells will help about 1,000 people for the rest of their life. And that's pretty awesome. We take so much for granted in our land in which we live, this great nation, the United States of America, and it's awesome that we're so blessed. But you know what? We're blessed to be a blessing to others. We're not blessed just to heap it all on ourselves. We're blessed to be a blessing. Okay, I got a story I want to read as we get started in this. Ten henpecked husbands. Oh my. We don't have any of those here, do we? Ten henpecked husbands formed themselves into a sworn society for resisting the poisonous oppression of their wives. Now I do have a, this goes along with my sermon, okay? Okay. I'm not just picking on women. Well, this is picking on men. At the first meeting, they were sitting, talking over their pipes and wine, when suddenly the ten wives, who had got wind of the movement, appeared on the scene. There was a general stampede, and nine of the husbands bolted like rats through a side door. Only one remained unmoved to face the music. The ladies merely smiled contemptuously at the success of their raid and went away. The nine husbands then agreed that the bold tenth man who had not run away should be appointed their president. But on coming to offer him the post, they found that he had died of fright. Wow. We're continuing our series on faith. We've been talking about faith for several weeks now. And I want to continue this. Today we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 8. I love this story because it's so much about life. It's so much about living. And it talks about how we view and react the world that we live in. And we have used this scenario for weeks and weeks and weeks now. I hope you're sick of hearing it. That means that you're finally getting it. But what we think about, our thoughts become words. Our words become action. Action becomes habits. Habits become character. And character becomes our destiny. So if we want to control our destiny, if we want to change our destiny, if we don't like where we're going, we need to go back and change the way we think. And the best thing that I know about thinking is found in God's Word. He has the way of life, not us. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. When we are unguided by the Scripture, we tend towards the flesh. We tend towards death and not life. But when we stay in the Word and the Word in us, guess what? It's amazing how life is so much better. There's so much more peace in our life. Not that necessarily you have less problems, but you have more solutions to problems. And that's the neat thing about faith life. Faith is not about the lack of difficulty. Faith is how you deal with the difficulty that you face in your life. And so it becomes the guiding principle. We're going to see in this story a contrast between the life of fear and the life of faith. Now, look with me in Luke, the 8th chapter and the 22nd verse. Now, it happened on a certain day that Jesus got into a boat with His disciples and said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake. Now, this was a very common occurrence in that time, this particular lake. This particular lake is about 600 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains. So there are times that when the winds come in, it's kind of funneled down on that lake. And when the warm and the cool air meet, guess what happens? A storm. Now, the Greek word here for storm is not kind of like we sometimes on Greer's Ferry or the river, you get out there and the wind gets up and you have white caps. This is not that kind of storm. The idea here that this is a storm of hurricane proportion. How many know that's serious? When a storm that big, little boat, serious deal. Okay, so this was not a little deal. This was a big deal. Okay, and then it says, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. You can imagine. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And He said to them, now notice what He said to them here. This is the crux of what we're going to talk about today. They said to Him, "Where is your faith?" One of the other Gospels says, "Why is it that you have no faith?" Now, faith we've been describing as faith is your belief system. It's what you believe about God. It's what you believe about life. It's your philosophy of life. It's your worldview, how you view things. Because whatever your view of life is and whatever your belief system is, that's what you live out, and that becomes your faith. Whether it's genuine faith or not, that is your faith. And you know, I see a lot of people, I listen a lot to what people say, and you can tell some people are on dangerous ground by what they believe about God, what they believe about the way of salvation. You know, most Americans think that you can be saved if you're just a good person. There's a lot of people think, well, if I just live a good life, then I'm going to be okay. You know what? That's their faith. And they're staking their destiny on that premise. And I just have to be honest with you. That's not a biblical premise. The Bible clearly tells us that we cannot earn our way to heaven. That we're not good enough to merit heaven. And God is, in the end of life, God doesn't have a big teeter-totter up there that He puts all of your good deeds on one side and your evil deeds on the other side. And if the evil is heavier, you go to hell. And if the good is heavier, you go to heaven. That's not the gospel at all. In fact, the Bible says that there's not any that are good. No, not one. It goes on to say that our best effort is a dirty garment, filthy rags. So we can't earn our way to God. But if that is your faith, that's what you live your life on, and your eternal destiny is determined by what you believe, right or wrong. And there'll be people who miss God because they believe the wrong thing. They believe the wrong thing. It's important what you believe. It really is important what you believe. And we see this story here about the disciples. Now understand that in just a few years after this incident, these were the men who were to lead the fledgling church that spread throughout all the earth. Were they ready to lead this church at this time? Absolutely not. They were not. They were not capable. Why? Because they had a fear problem. And we need to understand that there are opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. And there's a lot of people that their life is determined and their action is determined not by faith but by fear. And in essence, their fear is their faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith deals with the unseen. You know what fear deals with? Fear deals with the unseen. Fear is believing what you can't see will come to pass. Faith is believing in what you can't see will come to pass. They're just opposites. You know, you have a pain in your side, and this thought comes to your mind. You've got cancer. Well, is there any evidence of that? I mean, this fear rises in your heart and you've got cancer. They get on the TV and says, it's flu season. You have the flu. Wow. It's amazing how we tend towards the negative all the time. We tend towards the fear, but you really have to work on the faith part, okay? You have to change. If you want to change your destiny, it starts with changing the way that you think about things and learning to think in God's Word. I'm not talking about New Age garbage, you know, where you can imagine things. No. The mind works. The New Age knows how the mind works, but they're not channeling you towards the Scripture. I'm channeling you towards the Scripture. See, in God's Word, there's life. In God's Word is the way that we need to learn how to think. So if you want to change your destiny, if you don't like where you are, where you're going, what's happening in your life, you need to go back and change the way that you think, speak, act, your habits, your character, and that'll change your destiny. Okay? So here they are in this ship, and I want to point out two different sets, two different mindsets in this ship. Now, I need to say this about Jesus before I go any further. Sometimes we have this misunderstanding about Jesus. Was Jesus God? Yes. Was Jesus man? Yes. He is 100% God. He's 100% man. But Philippians talked about that when He came into the earth, He emptied Himself of certain things. See, Jesus emptied Himself of all of His knowledge and all of His power. Jesus did not do any powerful acts in the earth as God. He didn't do any miracles until He was anointed by the Spirit at His baptism. Remember when the Spirit came on Him? That's when He began to do miracles. Before that time, He didn't do any miracles. He didn't come as omniscient God. The Bible talks about Him growing in stature, in wisdom. If He was omniscient, He would already have all wisdom. He emptied Himself of that. Now, why did He do that? Was He still God? Yes. Could He have drawn on that? Yes. But He chose not to. See, He had to walk as you and I walk. He had to model a way for us to walk. And if He was going to be our Redeemer, He was going to have to experience what you and I experience as a man. And that's a whole other series, and we could talk about that later. But a lot of people think, well, that when Jesus was in the earth, that He knew the future and He knew everything that was going on. But Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit just like you and I are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do powerful acts because He was God. He did powerful acts by the third member of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He did His healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it because He was God. Now, He was God, but He didn't draw on that. He did it by the power of God, just like the early apostles did the same thing. Okay? So when Jesus had a sense of urgency about Him, and He said, they got in this ship one day, and He says, let us go over to the other side. What was on the other side? If you read ahead and you see what was on the other side, the thing that was over there was the maniac of Gadara. Remember studying about the maniac? He was demonized and he was tormenting people, and he lived among the tombs, and he was just a mess. And Jesus had a sense of destiny. See, Jesus understood who He was. He understood what His purpose was. He understood all of that about Himself. And He was led by His design. He was led by His destiny. Just like you and I are supposed to be. There are certain things that I know that I don't need to do because I'm not gifted to do those things. I'm not designed to do those things. The blessing of God in my life is not in those areas. I'm not called to go and preach crusades. You know, my destiny is right here. My destiny is right here, pastoring a local flock of people. That's where God blesses me. He doesn't bless me going and holding crusades because that's not my design. And if somebody comes and says, "Oh, we need you to come hold a big revival. We got a whole string of..." No, that's not my design. That's not where my blessing lies. Because God leads me in line with that. God talks to me about this church. He talks to me about you. He talks to me about the future of this church and where we're going and what we need to be involved in. And when we stay within our destiny and are led by our destiny, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. See, I remember years ago, there used to, you see people who would give what they call personal prophecy. And they'd prophesy over everybody, "Oh, thus saith the Lord, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that." Most of that was nonsense. In fact, I'm going to say most of that is nonsense. You have if Jesus is your Lord, you have the Holy Spirit in your life, God is able to speak to you. Now, there's times in the Bible that God would speak by the Holy Spirit, but it was a confirmation of something that was already in their life. God doesn't lead us through special words. He leads us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I don't need you to lead me. You don't need me to lead you. That's unscriptural. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of that. You know why? Because they weren't born again. They didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. But we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Now, we may say things from time to time that quicken something in your heart that God is dealing with you about. That is a quickening of the Spirit. That is a bearing witness of the Spirit. But for me to say, "Sandy, thus saith the Lord, you're supposed to sell all you have and go to Africa." Well, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? And I know one situation. I don't know why I'm on this, but I didn't do this in the first service. But I remember one instance years ago that this well-meaning Christian prophesied to this man that he was supposed to marry a certain woman. And so he did that because of that personal prophecy. That marriage was a disaster. They were both ministers. They were both called. But that marriage was a disaster. And it ended as a disaster. You know why? Because they were not compatible. They were both Christians, but they were not compatible. That's not what... We're not led by personal prophecy. We're led by the Spirit of God. And Jesus, being led by the Spirit of God, He said, "Let us go over to the other side." He didn't say, "Let us go halfway and sink." He said, "Let us go over to the other side." He had a sense of destiny on the inside of Him. He had a sense of purpose. There is a need over there that needs to be met, and we're supposed to go do it. And you know what? Sometimes when God speaks to your heart, He doesn't show you the whole picture. He'll just give you the direction. If He showed you the whole picture, it wouldn't take faith to do it. Sometimes we have to go in that direction. He told Abram, He says, "You go to a land that I'm going to show you." Abram started walking. As he walked, God revealed to him where he was going. That's why we call it the walk of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay. So Jesus has this sense of destiny. I'm not sure that He knew what He was going to or what He was going through. But His sense of trust in His Heavenly Father made it able for Him to get in that boat, launch out, and go to sleep. That's the picture of faith, that we can rest in the promises of God. We can rest in the direction that God gives us. You know, this pastoring this church shouldn't be a big hassle. Now, it's a challenge, but I don't have to be tore up all the time about something in this church. If I'm all tore up about something all the time, then guess what? There's an area of my life that I'm not trusting God. I have to trust You to God. I have to know, I can't control your life. It's not my job to control your life. It's my job to teach you. It's your job to take it and do with it. It's not my job to make you. I'm a shepherd, not a dictator. I don't want to be a dictator. I don't want to control your life. Control is not my deal. My deal, I sow the seed. That's my job. I can rest in that. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to work in your life. So Jesus was able to speak the Word. He got in the boat and He went to sleep. Well, you know what? The disciples, they heard the Word. They launched out into the deep. And they were fine until what happened? Till the storm came. Well, where'd the storm come from? Oh, I know, God sent it to test them. No, that was a very common thing for storms to happen. Let me say this about storms. It's not about devil sending them, God sending them, all of that kind of stuff. Storms is just a part of life. So, oh, God's testing us. No, this is life. Wherever you live and whatever you're doing, this is your life. It's not a test. Now, can we learn in any situation that we're in? Yeah. We can learn in the good. We can learn in the bad. We can learn from other people. Did you know that? Proverbs talks about the man who goes by the lazy man's house. And he goes by the lazy man's house and he says, I looked at his fence and it's broken down. I looked at his... I'm embellishing this just a little bit. It says, I looked at his shutters and his shutters were hanging sideways. The paint was peeled. I says, I looked and I considered and I learned. You can look at people and you can learn what to do. You can learn what not to do. You ought to be learning all the time. Any circumstance, situation of life. God doesn't send bad things to test us. He doesn't need to. There's enough bad stuff in the earth. But be smart enough that you learn in every situation. We have a tendency that what we don't learn by, we repeat. Let that soak in just a minute. What we don't learn by, we have a tendency to repeat. That's so true. I'm talking about the bad stuff. When we don't learn through the bad stuff, we tend to repeat the behavior that leads to the bad stuff. Okay? I see people who make the same mistakes over and over and over and over and say, well, why did God do this to me? And I will say, dummy, God didn't have anything to do with it. You did it to your own dumb self. Wake up and smell the coffee and change what you're thinking, saying, doing, what your habits are, what your character is, and you'll change your destiny. Okay. Sliding right along. So here they are. The wind comes up and Jesus remains asleep. Hurricane! Hurricane! Jesus! Sleep! Disciples freaking out of their heads. Why? We're dying! We're dying! Were they dead? Were they dying? No. Were they in peril? Yes. Could they have died in that storm? Yes. If Jesus hadn't been on board, if somebody of faith hadn't been on board, they would have died right there. You know why? Because where their faith was at. Where was Jesus' faith at? It was in the Word it says, let us go over to the other side. What should they have thought? You know what? Jesus said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. What were they doing? We're dying here. Help! We're dying, dying, death, death. They were motivated by what? Fear. Fear leads you to unbelief. You know, the thing is, the storm wasn't the greatest thing that was there. The unbelief in their heart was greater than the storm on the outside. In fact, their unbelief in their heart was a whole lot more dangerous than the storm was, as Jesus demonstrates. So they get it. So they wake Jesus up. You know, somebody wrote a Christian hymn. Peace be still. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? You know, and they're thinking, oh Lord, wake up, rebuke the storm, do something. So Jesus gets up and he says, peace, be still. And that raging storm all of a sudden became quiet and calm. The lake became like glass. Now, if you've ever been in a storm, as the storm subsides, it doesn't just do that. After the storm leaves, the waves still roll. But this says it was just as still as it could be. God is greater than the storm. Faith is stronger than your difficulties. Fear will do what? Fear will kill you. Fear will kill you. Faith will save you. And Jesus rebuked the storm and he turns around and he says, where is your faith? Where was their faith? Their faith was in their circumstances. And how many times that, you know, we're rocking along here and we say, you know, God, we come to church and we sing these great songs. I mean, there's some great songs being written right now. We're singing some great songs. You know, that Jesus is our victor and He's rose from the dead and He's freed us from death. And we walk out here and some storm hits us and, oh, what are we going to do? Freaking out. Where's your faith? Your faith is in your circumstances, not in God's Word. You know what? Jesus knew that when He lived in purpose, and He followed, He said, I have come to do the will of my Father. And Jesus knew that it was going to cost Him His life. He died doing His purpose. But you know what? He glorified God in His life, and He glorified God in His death. And let me tell you something about these disciples. They did the same thing. But if Jesus had to start the church that day, the church would have never made it. Why? Because the fear was greater than their faith. Fear was greater than their faith. See, we can't afford to be afraid of the storms of life. You cannot have faith and fear at the same time. They're opposites. Your heart cannot be full of fear and be full of faith. Your heart cannot be full of faith and full of fear. What is fear? Fear is believing that what you can't see will come to pass. What is faith? Believing what you cannot see will come to pass. Faith is based on what? It's based on what God said. Fear is based on what? Whatever the circumstance of life is at that time. Well, the doctor said it's fatal. Does that make it fatal because the doctor says it's fatal? Has anybody ever had a miracle from God where you've been healed in your body? Anybody in this church ever been healed by the power of God? Yeah, look at there. People been healed by the power of God. Well, that's not supposed to happen. I've known a lot of people, the doctor said, you know what, they're going to die. And all of a sudden, they turn around and come out of it. Doctors are not God. Doctors are not. Thank God for medical science. A lot of us would die if it hadn't been for medical science. Thank God for them. I believe they're a gift of God to us. But what I'm saying is, they're not final authority. They're not final authority. Word of God's final authority. What do we trust? Do we trust what we see, feel, hear, taste, touch? Or do we trust what God said? Are we walking in our purpose? Are we living in our purpose? You know what? When you're walking and living in your purpose, you can have confidence in your journey. If you get off in left field somewhere, you realize you're off in left field, you need to turn and run towards God as fast as you can. Because you're in peril because you're not in your purpose. Now, there's grace. Thank God for grace. But run back to God's purposes as fast as you can. Because in there's so much confidence in God's purposes. When you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, it's amazing. Just not outward circumstance, but the peace that's in your heart. You may be doing what God wants you to do, and the outward circumstances say we need more money, we need this, we need that, but on the inside you just have tremendous peace. You can't buy that peace. What is that? That's the working of God in your life. That's God saying to your heart, peace, be still. Let me work. Let me calm the storm. Let me bring the money in. Let me fulfill my purpose. You know what? This is not my church. Crystal, that's not your ministry. If it's God ordained, who does it belong to? Belongs to Him. What are we? Stewards of that grace. Where God guides, He provides. We ought to be able to rest and go to sleep in the boat, no matter what the storms are doing around us. Because He says to our hearts, peace, be still. Now that's comforting. It's easy sometimes to freak out when things happen that you don't expect or that you don't want to happen. I see that all the time. I'm thinking, okay, what I need to do, Lord? What I need to do? I know one thing I don't need to do. Run in circles, scream and shout. Okay? I don't need to do that. But I do need to rest in the promises of God. I can do that. I can do that. See, that's called faith. That's called faith. I'm not in control of the circumstances. I'm just in control of what God gives me to do. And I know if I will be obedient to that, the results are up to Him. And we can go through the storms that we need to go to. We can speak to the storms and see peace be still, whatever. But we know that the end result is going to be the kingdom of God, the purpose of God that He has for our lives. Amen? I'm going to ask my prayer team to come at this time. As they do, I want to read something to you that kind of illustrates what we're talking about. But it says, at the beginning of the Reformation, Martin of Bowsley came to a knowledge of the truth. The truth that he came to the knowledge of was the just shall live by faith. Okay? He came to this knowledge. But afraid to make a public confession, he wrote on a leaf of parchment, O most merciful Christ, I know that I can be saved only by the merit of Thy blood. Holy Jesus, I acknowledge Thy suffering for me. I love Thee, I love Thee. Then he removed a stone from the wall of his chamber and hid it there. It was not discovered for more than 100 years. He had the same revelation that Martin Luther had. About the same time, Martin Luther found the truth as it is in Christ. He said, My Lord has confessed me before men. I will not shrink from confessing Him before kings. The world knows what followed, and today it reveres the memory of Luther. But as for Martin of Bowsley, who cares for him? He had the same truth, had the same potential, but because of fear, because he was afraid to speak out, he hid it in a wall. I wonder how many people were lost because he didn't act out his purpose. And then Martin Luther obeyed it at great cost. And I wonder of the people who have been influenced for the kingdom because Martin Luther made a stand and even nailed his complaint against the door of the church to begin the debate that the just shall live by faith. And you know what? It's called the Reformation. And we're part of that Reformation, that we can be saved by the grace of God, that we don't earn our salvation, but it's a free gift. We have that truth because someone was not only believed it, but they were willing not to be intimidated by the fear, but they stepped out in faith and let God do the work. Wow. What could God do with us, in us, for us, if we would learn not to be moved by the circumstance? Father, thank You so much. Thank You for the Word today. Lord, we know that You came not to condemn us, but You came to encourage us, to encourage our hearts. And Father God, I pray for those here today. I don't know. You know what's in their heart. There may be those here today that don't know You as Savior and Lord. And they need to walk beyond their fear and step out in faith and come and confess You as their Lord and Savior. There are those who have need in their life. Those who are going through stuff in their life that they need Your guidance. Draw them to You. Minister to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're here and have any kind of need, come at this time. They'll be glad to pray with you right here.